Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. We are back. We've taken a hiatus on Blog Talk Radio. However, it's good to be back. We'll be talking about Antichrist, Ten Kings arising en route to a one world government. We'll be primarily be looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Some of the things that I want to kind of review before we actually get in to this topic, let's go to the actual scripture. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 17, verse 11 through 14. And it says, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. There have been one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. There shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." With current events that's kind of going on right now, especially with the coronavirus and this pandemic, we're seeing a bunch of different things that are occurring within our society. Gordon Brown, which is the formal United Kingdom Prime Minister, had urged world leaders to create a temporary form of global government to tackle the medical and the economic crisis that's taking place with the COVID-19 pandemic. Brown went on to say that after seeing the international efforts to tackle the impact of the near meltdown of the banks, we all know what happened with the financial institutions back in 2008 when it had the major meltdowns within the banking and the mortgage industry, that Brown is stating that world leaders and health experts, heads of organizations and executives would need to coordinate a response. That was found in the Guardian.com article back on March 26th of this year. We also heard Pope Francis chime in on needing, due to the fact the crisis going on, this pandemic crisis going on, of an actual world government. As we read the scripture, as we can see, Bible prophecy is ahead of itself. And also, when we go back to Mystery Babylon, one of the main goals and main efforts is to actually have a one world government, one world religion arise. Now, when we look at the different steps that have taken place throughout the last century or so, or century or two, in regards to formulating a world government, let's just look at some dates and some organizations. 1913, we see the Federal Reserve System, which is located in Washington, D.C., take place. 1920, the League of Nations in Geneva. Between 1920 and 1921, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London, England. Also within that same time frame, we see the formulation of the Council of Foreign Relations in New York. And then we also see other branches begin to arise, the United Nations in 1945, the Bilderberg Group formulated itself in the Netherlands in 1954, the Club of Rome of 1968, which we'll talk a whole lot in this broadcast, and the Trilateral Commission formulated itself in New York in 1973. So going back to Mystery Babylon, goes all the way back, but I also want to read the scripture in Daniel, because Daniel, based off Revelation chapter 17, Daniel 7 has a whole lot to say about this actually being Bible prophecy, and we're starting to see a lot of the fulfillment of the actual scriptures. Daniel 7, verse 17 through 23 says, "These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and forever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which has a diverse, and from the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devour and break in pieces, and stamp the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in the heads, in his head, and of the others which came up, before whom three fell, even of the horn that had eyes, and the mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows." This is talking about the Antichrist. "And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the days came judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces." So here we see that we're looking at Daniel chapter 7, and we see at verse 23, it says that the whole earth will be devoured and should be treaded down and broken into pieces. So this is where we get in to the formulation of a one world government, which you have all these different entities working at once under the umbrella of the ancient mysteries, religions such as Kabbalah, Gnosticism, the Knights of Templars, the Rosicrucians, Freemasonry, and the Illuminati. And then you have religious groups or religious societies, Theosophical Society. You have the World Council of Churches. You have the International Banking Elite. You have all these that are working jointly together to formulate this. Also, there's definitely a spiritual aspect of this. Again, with you look at the writings of Alice Bailey, who is the founder of Lucifer Trust, or Lucius Trust, which has a great influence on the United Nations spirituality with the Temple of Understanding and other things and all. Also, let's look at one of the latest New Age authors, Neil Donald Walsh, his book, Conversations with God. Oprah has really highlighted this book and this author, but he has some very interesting things in his book, Conversations with God. When we look at page 141 of his book, it states something very very interesting, because it kind of shows you that these spiritual entities have things that they're communicating from the spirit world. Here's what Nell says in his book on page 141, and this is God talking, and this is Walsh's response, and then God's response. He says, "Something will have to be new if we wish your world to change. You must begin to see someone else's interests as your own. This will happen only when you reconstruct your global reality and govern yourselves accordingly." This is Welsh's response to, quote unquote, God that he's speaking to in his book. He says, "Are you talking about a one world government?" And God says, "I am." So you see, this is a great mystery that's taking place. We also can understand and see that you have these different round tables that are working together to formulate this one world government. You have the Council of Foreign Relations, you have the United Nations, you have the Bilderberg Group, you have the Club of Rome, you have the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and then you have the Trilateral Commission. All these groups are working together. There's a bunch of moving parts, one goal of establishing a one world government. So when we move on with the Club of Rome and also seeing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy taking place of Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 17, we see that formulating very fast, and the soon near future we'll definitely see the fulfillment of the scriptures taking place. The Club of Rome was founded in 1968, the global think tank that deals with a variety of international political issues. According to its website, the Club of Rome is composed, so it's composed of several different people, scientists, economists, businessmen, international high civil servants, head of states, and formal heads of states from five continents who are convinced that the future of mankind is not determined once and for all, that each human being can contribute to the improvement of societies. We move on. The Club of Rome begins actually in April of 1968 when its leaders of 10 different countries gathered in Rome at the invitation of Arrigo Pescia, a prominent Italian industrialist with close ties with the Fiat and Avalotti corporations. The organization's claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. However, these solutions always seem to promote the concept of world government at the expense of national sovereignty. So we all know from studying the scriptures that Jesus is the King of Kings. He's a Prince of Peace. He's the only one that can bring actual peace upon earth. But here, man is trying to enact his own ability, his own will, and against God to establish a one world government and quote unquote peace, which is will be a false peace, which the Antichrist will establish. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing regionalization and unification of the entire world. The club, therefore, is said to be one step above the Bilderbergs and a one world hierarchy. All right. So as far as we've been able to determine, most of the directives for the planning of the world government is presently coming from the Club of Rome. So they're one of the leaders of formulating this one world government. And if you Google and you see the charts or images, they have broken this planet up in 10 regions, which is confirmation within the scriptures. Since the club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time, especially highly confidential reports, on September 17, 1973, the club released one report entitled Regionalized and Adaptive Model of Global World System. So you can Google that to check this out for yourself. Prepared by Club of Rome members Mihoel Mezavec and Eduardo Pestel, the documents revealed that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which refers to as kingdoms. So we see the Apostle John, who wrote this on an island at Patmos. Jesus is giving him the book of Revelation, that this kingdom system will be set up under the son of perdition, will usher in these 10 kingdoms dividing up the planet. Also, the book of Daniel, which was written several thousands of years ago. Here's what one of the club founders states in what he's stating about the Club of Rome. He says, They're models based on new developments of multi-level hierarchical systems theories and divides the world into 10 interdependent, mutually interacting regions of political, economic, or environmental coherence. It would be recognized, of course, that these are still prototype models. Mezavec and Pestel have assumed the Herculean task of the full implementation of their work will make or take many years. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 says, all these things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfying with seeing, nor the ear filled hearing. The thing that have been, it is, that which shall be, that which shall it be done, it shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see it, this is new, it hath already been of old time, which before us. So I want to move a little bit in. I can't really take phone calls right now because I'm doing a 30-minute session. I apologize for that. When I have a little bit longer time, I'll be more than willing to take phone calls. If there's any way that you can inbox me with any questions or comments, that's fine. I will respond. The origins of 10 God kings and 10 governments. According to the philosopher Plato, whose works of like the Republic are widely read by the ruling elite of our day, Atlantis was a highly advanced scientific technological civilization that was ruled by 10 God kings. So this is where we start seeing the formulation of why you want to have these 10 kingdoms and you have 10 men over these kingdoms. It goes all the way back to the elite believing pre-flood antediluvian times of a world government where you have these 10 god kings of Atlantis. Most legends agree that the progeny of Salito and Poseidon did evidently produce the royal dynasty and lineage of Atlantis. The infamous giant twins, Poseidon's five pairs of Nephilim twins, were famous 10 kings of Atlantis, who were known as Atlas, Gardius, Ephorus, Ephemen, Meninus, Atimathin, Epilephus, Mysosaur, Azaeus, Depapyrus. They reigned absolutely over the Antillean Empire. As Atlantis writer Chris Bertares, Atlantis was subdivided into 10 distinct regions that became known as the helm of antediluvian world government. What's most intriguing with the legends of Atlantis is that the Freemasons would like to recreate the antediluvian or antediluvian age of enlightenment, which had 10 kingdoms with 10 governments and 10 kings, famous for being the helm at antediluvian world government. Bursars enumerates that 10 antediluvian kings whose fabulous reign extended to thousands of years. The legends of the Iranian race commence with the reign of 10 Poseidon kings, men of the ancient laws who lived on a pure homo or water of life or nectar, who preserved the sanctity. In India, we met the 9 Brahmas, who were Brahmas, they were founders, who would make 10. You had 10 Patriarchs, or fathers. The Chinese count 10 emperors to partake in divine nature before the dawn of historical times. The Germans believe in the 10 ancestors of Odin, and the Arabs in the 10 mystical kings of Adonis. So again, we see the group of 10 or 10 God kings. So when we look at Revelation chapter 17, what's taking place, that the son of perdition, Antichrist, will present himself as God's, but he'll also delegate authority and power within an hour of giving these men power and authority over these 10 kingdoms, which I presume, based on that, elevating them to being these God kings. Freemasonry believes that the number 10 is significant when applied to government. That's found by one of the greatest Freemason occult philosophers, Manly P. Hall. Manly P. Hall goes on and explains the League of Ten Kings is cooperative and commonwealth of mankind, the natural and proper form of human government. Atlantis, therefore, is the archetype or the pattern of government which existed in ancient days but was destroyed. We go back to Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. It says, and there were seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is the seventh and goeth into perdition. We move on. Revelation 17, verse 7 through 9, it says, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee a mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns, that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, and whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and it is not, and is yet. And there in the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads are the seven mountains on the woman sitteth. When we kind of look at the seven heads, we can look at one of the mythical things back in ancient Middle Eastern culture, Tiamat, or the like. Tiamat was like Leviathan, or the Greek Hydra. Tiamat and Hydra had, there were seven-headed serpents, okay? So we see that Leviathan is actually another type of a beast that takes place. And we see the seven-headed Hydra is a dragon. And when we look a little bit more into that by researching this, in the Illuminati, a member takes the oath to three demonic entities, Lucifer, Beelzebub, and Hydra. Who is Hydra? It states, in the Christian New Testament, Hydra is described in the last book of Revelation, Revelation 17, verse 7 through 9. It is the beast with seven heads. We look and see when we compare Revelation chapter 17, verse 12, through 14 in Psalms chapter 2, our second division of Psalms, and the king and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So when we correlate that with Psalms 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bounds asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare and decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have begotten me. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, for thou shalt dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. Daniel 2, verse 40 through 45. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as the iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as the iron that breaketh all things, these shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes and part of the potter's clay and part of the iron, and the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were a part of the iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest an iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they that shall not cleave one to another, even as the iron is not mixed with clay. And the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up the kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be left to the other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that the break of the pieces of iron, brass, and clay, and silver, and gold, and that the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and interpretation therefore sure. Amen. I see that we have, I'll take this one call. Again, this is a short, broadcast that we're doing. Hello, are you there? All right, I guess we have the call dropped. Normally, I would take calls. We're only doing a 30-minute session of this broadcast. We haven't broadcasted in a while, so we get the up and going. We'll be doing more broadcasts, a little bit more lengthier broadcasts, and we'll bring in guests. So God bless. This is our first broadcast that we've done. It's been years since we've been on Blog Talk Radio. So we're back up and going. So God bless everyone. God bless everyone on the End Time Prophecy Watch broadcast.